Hallelujah. Now, in the things we're talking about right now, we have to take it violently. Amen. We have to possess our possessions. Amen. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance or salvation. There shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Hallelujah. So in Mount Zion, these three things are there. And God expects them to be in the church. There is such a thing as holiness. There's such a thing as right living. Amen. In Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. It says, Jesus speaking said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take it by force, and the violence have passed it by force. They seize it, they snatch it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In fact, he uses a word that is strange here. He says, they rob it by force. So, you have to take the kingdom. As we prepare for the coming of the Master, we have to take the kingdom. We have to seize the kingdom. We have to possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. We're not just laying back and think it's going to fall on our laps, like, you know, ripe mangoes fall or ripe oranges fall sometimes. You know, in the world these days, people determine sowing season and harvest. They go out there during the harvest time. They don't wait for it to fall. They gather it. They harvest it. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what we ought to do. We ought to harvest the things of God while we're waiting for the Master. Praise the Lord. He's not coming for a weak church. He's not coming for a beat-down, beat-up church. He's not coming for an unrighteous church. No. He's coming for a church without spot or blemish. And the things we're teaching have to do with that. Amen? Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says there, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. They overcame him. Who's the him there? The adversary. His name is also Satan. The name also is the devil. The name also is the enemy. He's also AKA the evil one, the wicked one, the prince of darkness. Hallelujah. We overcame him. He's the head of devils. We overcame him. When that means, what that means is that we overcome him and they that are with him. Whether they are human agents or agencies, whatever they be, we have overcome them. We overcome him, which is the toughest of them all. By these three necessary things. One, the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. That brings us to what we were talking about. Praise the Lord Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9, I'll start from verse 11. It said, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience, our whole being, and removes the consciousness. What I mean by that is that it removes the guilt of sin. Condemnation becomes nullified by the blood, on the basis of the blood of Jesus. Sin has no power in the presence of the blood, and sin and the devil are synonymous. It removes the desire for dead things, dead works. So for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated by blood, for when Moses had spoken all every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto you." He has entrusted unto you. Hallelujah. That you have an authority and to apply. They've applied the blood. You see, there are a couple of things that are under the old covenant that the blood of Jesus has accomplished. All the things that could be done by the blood of bulls and more. Hallelujah. This is the sin sacrifice. Hallelujah. He's the atonement. He's also the peace offering. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And almost all things are by law purged with blood. For without shedding of blood is no remission. There is no expungement of sin. Sin is not taken care of. Released, or you and I being released from sin. And the punishment of sin. The blood of Jesus removes the sin, the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin, and renders ineffective any consequence of sin. That's what the blood of Jesus does. When the blood is applied, all charges are dropped automatically. When once that blood is applied, everything disappears. It's like, let's say the enemy was carrying, you know, his book where he wrote all the things that you and I did, and he's going to court with it. When he gets there, by the time he wants to read it, there'll be nothing there. Nothing. Now say The blood makes holy. The blood speaks. You know, it is one reason why it is not possible to be in heaven without Jesus. Because people make mistakes. But they're counting on their own goodness. The best of men make mistakes. But when a man is counting on his own goodness, what happens to his sin? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It is the blood. The blood speaks for us. Glory be to God. Now let's keep reading because we're going somewhere. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, talking about the earthly ones. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's not coming to deal with sin at his coming. He's coming to look for righteous people. He's coming to look for holy people. He's not coming to deal with sin. He's already dealt with sin by his blood and told us what to do. Amen? He told us what to do. And those things that he told us to do are vital. They're vital. He says, and we go to chapter 10, hallelujah, and let me read from verse 14. He says, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has done a jam up job. He has done an excellent job with one sacrifice. He has made perfect. That is, now, it is complete. He has done a complete job. The rest is manifestation. Just like when you plant an orange seed, the tree, what is left, you water it, what is left is manifestation. But it has all the life of the tree in the seed. So God is waiting for the precious harvest of the earth. This perfect seed he put in it is waiting for it to bud, to grow, to germinate, to grow, and to become a real big tree. And then he will say it's time to harvest. So he has perfected us forever. As he's looking at us now, he's seeing perfect people. You know, God, he sees the end from the beginning. He calls those things that be not as though they were. So he's looking at us and calling us perfect. Hallelujah. There's no feeble one among us. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more sacrifice for sin. There is no more need for a sacrifice of sin, because that one sacrifice was good for all time. Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, he said, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, that is, he took the embodiment of sin. It's like somebody coming, you know, in those days of the sacrifice, what the high priest used to do was to get two goats. Then he will confess or speak the sins of the people upon a goat. One was killed, the other was let go, symbolizing freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have Jesus, who God spoke all the sins of mankind upon him. He put it on him, he who knew no sin. God made to become sin for us. And then he punished the sin in Christ. So sin was dealt with once and for all. What is now happening is that if somebody does something wrong, until the redemption of the purchased possession, it is rendered to the account of the cross. Now, when the blood has been applied, God tells us something. The Bible says we should be imitators of God as dear children. He said their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So we ought to forget. We ought to make deliberate effort to forget. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And all these things that you were, all the things that you are or are in you now, are of God. You are clean as if you've never done anything wrong in your life, now that you're born again. But the enemy tries to make people feel that they're still their old self. So he says, a saint is a sinner that fell down and got up, because we fall down and we get up. It's not true. As long as you think like that and talk like that, you will be like that. And that is not the real you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of men worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So you receive the word. Amen? But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, an actor of the word, a doer, a practitioner of the word, you're practicing the word. You are acting the word. When the word says you're righteous, you act righteous. When the word says that you're rich, you act it. That you're well, you act it. You practice it. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The translation says that word glass there means mirror. For he beholdeth himself. He sees himself. Hallelujah. And goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth that he was a righteous man. He forgetteth that he was holy. He forgetteth that he's a child of God. He's a son or daughter of God. He forgetteth that all things are passed away. That's the one who beholds his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if brethren don't begin to learn quickly who we are and the things that pertain to the kingdom of God, the enemy will be knocking it out of our mouths and to look as if the word is not working, because we forget what manner of man we are. So when it comes to the blood, the Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the word concerning, on the basis, all right, of the blood of Jesus. We overcame him on the basis of the blood. That this blood was shed for us. The Bible says, in him we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins is forgiven. Don't live with it. Don't keep carrying it up and down. It is forgiven, it is forgotten, it is dead. It has no power any longer. In heaven, it does not exist. When you're checking out, you decide to check out, and you know, where Jesus is coming, you're hearing Jesus is coming. Rejoice, rejoice. The blood has been applied. Samuel, you know, the enemy says, this is going to, you know, this thing that you have done, you are finished. Your life is over. In fact, just go back to the world where you came from. Because there's no hope in the kingdom of God, as it has to do with you. And it's not true. The blood has been applied. You have been bought with that blood. That blood has purged your records clean, as though it never happened. And every time the blood is applied, that is what happens. I say these things emphatically because that's where the fight is. The fight is in the consciousness of sin. As long as the devil gets people believing that they are not righteous, you can't take authority over him. You can't exercise the life that God has given you and I. We can't walk there. Purge the past. Repent of the past. And let the blood of Jesus wash it away. Don't recall it. Don't mention it again. Hallelujah.